This morning, what I'd like to do by way of this homily is try to string together the essential message of the three readings from Deuteronomy, from the letter of the Apostle James, and our Gospel taken from the Gospel according to St. Mark. And to start, we start with the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses is speaking to the Jews, the Israelites, the chosen people of God. And he tells them, he says, folks, God has now given us the law. This is what we are supposed to do. You can choose to obey, or you can choose to disobey. But he even goes a step further, and he says, observe them carefully, for thus you will give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations, who will hear of all these statutes and say, this nation, this great nation is a truly wise and intelligent people, for what great nation is there that has God so close to it as the Lord our God is to us, whatever we call upon him? Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law, which I am setting before you today? Now let's change a little bit of the language here for our purposes. Assuming that we are the people of God, and we may rightfully do so, and even among the people of God, the baptized Catholic Christians, would we in fact take these words, and every time you hear the word nation, replace it with the word Catholics? What I mean by that is, Moses is telling the people, I hope that you see the law of God as a blessing, not a curse, as evidence that we are favored by God precisely because he has given us the law. So much so that everyone else in the world will look at you as Catholics and say, wow, how blessed are these people who have been given such a law as they have been given, and are so close to God that whenever they call upon him, he comes down among them as they call upon him. Now, is that how the world looks at us? No. What do people always say? Catholicism is the religion of too many rules. Rules, 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 rules. Thou shalt not this, thou shalt not do that. And unfortunately, this is precisely how many Catholics view even the Ten Commandments. The noted Catholic author once said, the Ten Commandments really don't reveal to us all that we are forbidden from doing, as much as they really reveal to us all that we are really free to do. In other words, do we look at God's law as somehow a restriction on our freedom? Or do we in fact look at God's law given through the church as actually the way to promote our freedom so that we may live authentically? And this is the life cycle of conversion that goes on with many people. They are taught the Catholic faith, children. They may spend time, even as young adults, trying to be faithful to it. But then as life goes on, they figure it out that they might want to do it like Frank Sinatra, who did it his way. And they decide to go on their own way and do whatever they like. And they say, you see, now I am truly free because I am not repressed or bound by the teachings of the Catholic Church. And every time that you watch anything on the media these days, you will always hear the Catholic Church portrayed as this patriarchal overlord that holds people bound, and the truly enlightened are the ones who have found a way to rationalize in their conscience, to break away from the Catholic faith, and to do their own thing. They're truly the elect. ones who are really blessed. And what happens? Lives of sin, immorality, addiction, all kinds of different social ills come forth. But no one really ever looks at the persons who are living in God's law, under His dominion, and live very quiet lives, really in true freedom. So is it in fact the case, and it's a good question for all of us to ask, when we look at the church's teachings, do we sort of look at it as a separate entity out there? Here's me, acting person, but the church is this other entity out there somewhere, and it has these, at least seemingly to me, arbitrary rules about life. In fact, you know, it's really inappropriate for us as Catholics to just simply refer to it as the church. We really should be saying, we as Catholics believe. I mean, we are the body of Christ. In this regard, we can rightfully say that we are the church. Right? Because that's what it means to be in community with one another, in communion. So when we consider this, we always ask ourselves, do the words of St. James in the second reading then really sink in? Because what James is telling his hearers in this letter is very, very simple. In his own words, humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your souls. He says, be doers of the word, not just hearers, deluding yourselves. Right? And religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this, among other things, to keep oneself unstained by the world. So you see, I have this Catholic vision of God's law, that which sets me free, helps me to live authentically in liberty. And then you have the spirit of the world which says, no, the rules restrict your freedom. Dismiss the rules. Get out of the church. Find your own way. And then you will be truly free. So what happens, right? If you actually follow the church's teachings, and then you encounter those who don't but used to, what do you get called? Fanatical? Strange? Antiquated, old-fashioned? As if the law of God is somehow just tied to the times. The laws that Moses are giving, that Moses is describing in the book of Deuteronomy in the first reading given to the Jews, are nearly 5,000 years old. They're given to them by God Himself. And then to us by adoption. Anything that is merely tied to style or the times or things that are old-fashioned don't last 5,000 years. They may last a season or a generation, but not 5,000 years. We should automatically observe and appreciate that God's law given to us has perduring effect. And it has been the moral guide, the moral guide, in the world for the better part now of 5,000 years. Fashion? Merely the way you like to do things? More likely than not. In fact, I can tell you, definitely not. Which then takes us finally to our gospel this morning from the Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus is in confrontation with the Pharisees. And I have to admit, I'm a little bit of a hypochondriac. So when I read this reading in preparation for this homily, and I was reading about how the Pharisees like to clean all kinds of things, anyone who's ever been out to eat with me knows that I carry immense amounts of Purell on myself. And I wanted to say, oh, come on, that's not so bad. You know, cleaning the cups and the kettles and the jugs. But what Jesus is really getting at is very simple. Is it in fact the case that we are truly integrated persons? Meaning to say, is our outward observance of God's law consistent with our internal disposition towards Him? And is our internal disposition towards Him such that it is reflected in our outward actions? Because at times, right, we can do things the right way, but begrudgingly. I may follow the church's teachings, but in bitterness. Jesus doesn't want that. God loves a joyful giver, Scripture reminds us. He wants not only for us to do the right thing, but to do it for the right reason. To be truly motivated, not out of obligation, but out of love. And you know, even it's unfortunate that the term that we have in the church. I mean, think about the 6 days of the year that we call holy days of obligation. All right, well, that what that means to us, right, is that we have to give Mass. We have to come to Mass. And if you don't, it's a mortal sin. Or at least it's great Mass. Okay. But really, ideally, we really shouldn't call them holy days of obligation. I mean, we shouldn't just come to Mass to celebrate these feast days merely out of duty, but out of love. And you know, even as parents, right? Or grandparents, spouses, you would hope that your love for your loved ones, whoever they may be, is not just dutiful, although sometimes we know it's just dutiful, but ideally, we would want to love each other for love's sake, and ultimately, out of love for God. And so Jesus is inviting the Pharisees in very uncertain, in no uncertain terms, is what is on the outside reflective of what's on the inside? Is what's on the inside manifested on what we see outwardly? And you know, today, I have to say, there is a tremendous movement in people's minds. I don't know where this ever came from. But somehow to separate that what I do on the outside has really no reflection, of how I feel on the inside. So, for example, I may be counseling a young woman who struggles with a promiscuous lifestyle. And I say, so are you convinced here that these things that you do is good, are good things? No, they're bad. Okay, so we can at least agree that what you've done is bad. No, it's just my body. Try explaining that to a woman who's caught her husband in adultery. And he says, no, sweetheart, don't worry about it. It meant nothing. It was just my body. I really love you. You think he's going to buy that? I don't think so. Jesus again reminds us of integration. You can't simply say somehow that what I do on the outside is not manifested of how I feel on the inside and vice versa. If that were the case, psychologists would be out of business. Counselors and therapists would have no evidence to go on that the patient in front of them is depressed. How do they know they're depressed? They look depressed. They're not eating. They're thin. They look haggard. So you see, our Lord is calling us here, be whole. Be whole. And to be whole, inside and out, is what it means to be truly human. Every single one of the saints in heaven eventually came to this integration in this life. Most of us will struggle to try to live it consistently. And that's fine. Jesus is already pleased by our desire to try to become whole and integrated and healed persons. Therefore, as we seek this integration, let us look upon His law of love, not merely as obligation, and certainly not as a curse, but as a blessing that He intends to help us to lead Him, to lead us to Him in eternal beatitude. O Mary, conceived without sin,